So we're going on the parsha of Shlishi and Shmos, Vayidgal Moshe Vayetze Alecha, Vayar B'Sivloso, Vayarish Mitzri Maka Yeshivri Me'echov, Vayifen Ko Vacho, Vayar Ki Einish, Vayaches HaMitzri Vayitmeneo Bacho. So Chazal say, we'll start off with the first point. They said, Vayaki Einish. So, what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Yaki Einish? Plain shot is nobody's around. So, he felt secure in slaying the mystery. But Rashi says, and Chazal says, She'ein ish asid lotzeis mimeno, she'yizgayer, that there'll be nobody that will emerge from him that will be Megayer. It's an interesting thing. But you see that the, in other words, he's saying that he's not a worthy individual. He's not a worthy individual. But why does the person have to be Mizgayer? Ben Noach has not have to be Mizgayer. Is that what it is?
Everyone, please put your mute buttons on. And I'll just mute them manually. We can take it off when you want to take questions.
Okay. So, it's interesting. The Yonis ben Aziel doesn't say only Mizgayer. But he says, V'stakel Moshe b'chochmas daite v'zbonon b'chol dar v'dar v'hol lo koim min hum mitzroi gvar giyor. That's the first one. Mizgayer v'lo do'avitzuva m'b'nei b'noi ad alma. So he says, and not a person that did tshuva, that would do tshuva in the future, not a ger. So that's in line with the idea that a ben noach is not mochis from a ger, but he does still have the case of ger. He just adds, and also there's no one will emerge from him that will be chozer b'tshuva. That will be chozer b'tshuva. Another thing, in other words, but why does he have the institution of ger altogether? The Ben Noach is not chayav l'zgayer, correct? But I think from this you see that even though Ben Noach is not chayav l'zgayer, but basically, in terms of shlemus, he should be mizgayer. There's no chova on him to be mizgayer, but in terms of shlemus adam, he should be mizgayer. He should be mizgayer. And if he's not mizgayer, relax in shlemus adam. And that's a good. That's a good raya from here. That that the real Ben Noach is one that's moved to Geras. If he's not moved to Geras, he's lacking in Shlemus. He's lacking in perfection. Okay? So Yonasan Ben Aziel just adds that another thing, that not only was there no one to emerge from him that would have real Shlemus Adam, but also not even a person who will be Chozer B'tshuva. Okay, and we'll come back to why he is that second thing of Chozer B'tshuva. Okay. But, I just want to mention one. It says that he saw that no Einish Lotzeis Mimeno. It doesn't mean simply that he looked into a crystal ball and saw nobody was going to be an offspring of his, because that would be circular. Because if he kills him, so of course there's not going to be any offspring. And if there's no offspring, it means he didn't kill him. So it doesn't mean that simplistically that he just looked and somehow he gazed in into the future. There's no such thing. What it means is that he looked into the individual to see whether he's worthy to have someone emanate from him who is a tzaddik, who has virtue. But and that's why Yonis ben Aziel says, "Be'estakel Moshe b'chachmas daite v'zbonan." But we'll still have to understand a little more what the chachmas daite and what the izbonan is. But the first question I believe we asked was that what kind of a system of justice is that? If a person 50 generations down the line is going to have a person that's going to be a tzaddik, so therefore what? So therefore you don't kill him? I mean, is it chayiv misa? Is not chayiv misa. That's an asik for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's not an asik for a Bas Vadam. So what kind of thing was that? Moreover, it's interesting when it's, they interpret Vayifin kovacho. Ro ma'osalo babayis u ma'osalo basoda. So what is ma'osalo babayis? So Rashi explains that he was the Baal of Shlomis Bas Zivri. And he was attracted to her. So at nighttime, he took the husband, he summoned the husband out from his house, and then he went in and he lived with her. She thought it was her husband. Then the husband came back into the house and he sensed what was going on. So when the mitzri saw that he sensed and that he was caught, so he was makehu and rodeo kol hayom. So he was after him and he tormented him all day long. Strange reaction. It doesn't say he wanted to kill him, just says he tormented him. Makehu rodeo kol hayom. Funny kind of a response. I mean, what is that going to help if he's makehu rodeo kol hayom? If he wanted to kill him, that's something, but apparently he didn't. Or at least the Rashi doesn't say he has any intention of killing him. It was just a makev reda kolayom. So, yeah. So then it says, so that's what Rashi means, ro ma'osalo babayis and ma'osalo basoda. So first of all, the question is, how did he know this? Ro implies that he knew. That he saw. First-hand knowledge. How did he know? And then the question is a more conceptual question. What is the tzirif haparshias between the ma'aslo b'bayis and ma'aslo b'soda? Apparently Rashi is saying that there's a combination of these two elements. What was the combination of these two elements? Okay. So let's take up the second question first. Second question is... The second question is what are these two elements? So what did he do? He didn't want to be. He was ashamed of what he was doing. So he wanted to do it in seclusion. In other words, he was a person that wasn't really worried about whether it's right or wrong, but whether people will know about it or not. That was his concern. So then when he apparently could have forced the issue because nothing happened when the husband found out, but he had that shame that comes to a person when he realizes that somebody else knows the wrongdoing that he's doing, is aware of his wrongdoing. So that's like a reactive response. So what did he do? So to him, reality... was based, the reality of chet was based on somebody else knowing. So when somebody else found out, that should have made him ashamed and should have caused him to react with tshuva. That would be the correct response because he was trying to avoid the reality in his mind by having nobody there, but somebody was there, now it's real. So if it's real emotionally to him, he should have been chozer b'tshuva. But instead, what did he do? He was makehu rodeo kol hayom. So there's two things. So he expressed an anger at that fact. But there's two things wrong with that. First of all, it shows that every opportunity of tshuva turned down. And secondly, it shows another irrational response. Because why did he torment this fellow, the husband? Because he was angry that he knew. But that's just an expression of anger. It's not really accomplishing anything. If you wanted to kill him so there shouldn't be any evidence, shouldn't be any witnesses, that would be one thing. At least that would be within the realm of rationality. But makehu rodeo kol hayom was just an expression of anger at the situation, that the reality of his deed is somehow or other coming into existence. So his response was a completely irrational outburst of anger at the fact that he wasn't able to conceal in his mind. The anger was really at himself, that he wasn't able to fool himself into thinking that he's not a sinner. So he's not a chate. But he projected it onto this person. This is the reason why my problem is here, is because this person became aware. So that's somebody who's completely out of reality. So a person like that is not a Bar Hochi of Tshuva, because there's no Chachma at all. So that's why I believe Yonasan ben Aziel added the Lord Ovid Tzuvah min b'nei b'noi at Alma. That this trait to not be able to be chozer b'tshuva was a trait that he was searching to see if there was any possibility in him as a person to be related to the idea of tshuva through his offspring. Okay? Yeah. But we didn't answer the major question. The major question is that, what kind of a system of justice is this? Okay? What kind of a system of justice is this? There's another thing that Chazal say here. When the Pasuk says, Vayama misamcha le'ish saver shofet olenu, alohargeni ata omer, so Rashi says that, mikanon olamedim shehargo b'shem ha'mefarash. That he killed him with the divine name. So, because it says, Halo Hargeni Ata Omer. When he went the next day, and he saw the Jews fighting themselves, among themselves, so he said to the Rosh, Lama Sakareecha. So he answered him, Yisam Chalish Sava Shofet Aleinu, who made you the judge? Halo Hargeni Ata Omer. So it says, are you saying to kill me kasher rak das mitzri? So Chazal deduced that it was through Amira. So through Amira means through the Shem HaMafarish. Through the Shem HaMafarish. So that's. Of course, just as a general point, I mean, the Pshuto Shel Mikra, how did he find out? How did anybody find out? Because Aviv Kovachov Yarki Enish, nobody was there. So how did anybody find out? The answer is the one that he saved himself turned against him. Okay, the one that he saved himself turned against him. It's an interesting phenomenon. So it was. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said Ochei Noda Adavar. Ochei Noda Adavar means now I see why they're in trouble, because somebody comes to save them, and then they don't. And in spite of that, they turn against him. So, but anyways, that's just an aside point. But you see Chazal, straight through this whole parsha, have another trend, another system working here. In other words, there's Pshuto Shel Mikra, which is simply Vayaches HaMitzri, that he slew the Mitzri physically. Vayifen Kovacho, he looked this way and that way and saw that he's not, nobody around to witness the event, so he's safe. And Vayarki Einish. Vayarki Einish. Yeah, Vayarki Einish. Vayarki Einish, yeah. So, but Chazal take it into a different realm completely. That he killed him wasn't literal. That Vayarish Mitzri Makesh Ivri Me'echov, there was more to it than just that. There was an event the night before that preceded it, and they build a whole case here, a whole different scenario than you find in the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Okay? So the question is, what prompted Chazal to do that? What prompted Chazal to do that? As a matter of fact, Ramban says, and Rashi himself says, that Lefi Pshuto Kamashmo. There's a plain pshat too. It's not that the... Sometimes there's something difficult in the pshat. So the pshat alludes to another idea. But over here, it seems Rashi keeps on saying, pshuto kamashmo. And the same thing... right. And vayira Moshe. Vayira Moshe vayama achinod adavar. So again, Chazal say kipshuto. I mean, Rashi says kipshuto. That's plain pshat. Umidrash, umidrasho, dog lo al sherab yisrael rishayim dilaturin. Amo me'ata shema enam ruin ligoil. Okay. So again, Chazal interpret that a different idea, even though the pshuto shel mikra is good. So what prompted Chazal to interpret this whole parsha in a different way, a different light, with different facts? I mean, supply different facts and different ideas. What prompted them to do it? Okay? So I think the answer is that this was really part of the development of Moshe Rabbeinu. See, there were two events that took place before the snap. This was the first one. The second one was with Yisro. We'll get to that. We'll get to that soon also. But those two events, Chazal interpret as being forerunners and prerequisites for Moshe Rabbeinu to being able to have the Mari Hanavur in the snare, which was the encounter in which he was going to assume the responsibility of leadership for Klal Yisrael. Okay? So what is it in this event what are Chazal teaching us? So the question we asked was a good one, was that a judge doesn't go into generations down the line, but however, there is someone that does go into generations down the line. That's the Borei Olam. That's why Rabbi Saul Salanta said a famous word. The Rav once quoted him. It says that in Hazinu, Kichol Drachav Mishpat. So Kelamud Veinu Kol Drachav Mishpat. So Rabbi Saul Salanta asked. He says, so what's so great that his ways are justice? Man also does justice. So he said, no. By God, it says Kol Drachav Mishpat. All his ways are justice. Which means that a judge can only impose and instill justice based upon what he sees. But how it affects other people, that's not his jurisdiction. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he implements justice, he takes into consideration everyone that's involved and everyone that will be affected by the justice. So he doesn't just deal with the chote, but if harming and destroying the chote will affect the tzaddik, So then, that's taken into consideration. Like by Lot. Lot was saved mainly because of the schos of Avraham Avinu. So he himself wasn't worthy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice takes in all facets of existence, all people involved in the whole scheme of things. It's a different kind of justice. So, for instance, like Chazal say that that some people existed because of future generations. God wanted to have an individual that would be were the progenitors of a certain individual of future generations. So therefore, they were spared. That's Mishpat Hashem. So over here, what Chazal is saying is really that Moshe Rabbeinu was implementing Mishpat Hashem, not Mishpat Bnei Adam. That's what they're saying. So why was that necessary? So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The pshat is because of the fact that this was a forerunner of what was necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to take on the leadership of Klal Yisrael was he had to understand Mishpat Hashem. And that's why Yonasan ben Aziel says, V'istakel Moshe b'chochmas daitei v'izbonan b'chol dar v'dar. It means that there was a chochma that God taught him to know, how to know that if an individual emerges in future generations, whether it has anything to do with any schus that this individual has. Okay, actually, there was a ger that came out of him, because that was the ger that was the son of Shlomo's Bas Divri, and the Yish Mitzvah was Mekal, but he wasn't worthy. That's why it was Vizbonim B'chachmas Daite. That's no kasha that there was a ger. This is a chames question. But the answer is because there's bonin, doesn't mean that they're just somebody emerged. I mean, it has to be somebody worthwhile, tied to this person's chusim. That was the misbonin. So God taught Moshe Rabbeinu how to understand a human being, a person, in such a way that you could determine from studying the individual his relationship to the good that emerges in the future, if there's any relationship or if there's no relationship. Okay.
What about by Yishmael, Barashar Husham? So it seems that Mishpat Hashem, he's being the Dayan there, and he's saying, Barashar Husham, the way he is, Sadik or Rasha.
That's correct. But over there, he was spared.
Right.
He was spared.
Because he was a tzaddik.
He was a tzaddik.
That
Dori Doris, they're going to be Rishayim. But that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not do an injustice because of the future. In other words, if Yishmael is a tzaddik, so just because, unfortunately, B'nai Bonav are going to be Mitzayah Klal Yisrael, but still, Basher Hushom, because he is just now, so he's not deserving of Onesh. That God won't do. But the reverse is possible, that a Russia might live because of the fact that he has a certain schus. In other words, the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always l'tzad schus. That even our mishpat tries to emulate that v'tzilu eda. So if he has a schus, like Taisha says, how come people are chayef karas and they live to be very old? So Taisha says, because they have certain schusim. It's not really, karas doesn't mean that it's a final judgment. The person who's over chayef karas is going to die at 50. It just means that all things being equal, there's no purpose in his existence beyond those years, because the older years are really only good for chachamim. But if he has a schus, he could live on. There's no, it's not a necessary result. Okay. Yes.
I think it's either Kiskeva or Chava. He doesn't have children because he predicts his future generations will be bad.
That's right.
So how have you resolved that?
No, you mean that God told him, Menashe?
Because of Menashe.
Yeshayahu HaNavi told him, he says, it's not your business. That's a different idea. That a person has no right to abstain from a mitzvah because of the fact that he sees that something bad is going to come out of his, one of his offspring is going to be bad, it's going to be a bad reflection on him, so he doesn't want to have it. He doesn't want to be the cause of it. Even not only personally because of a bad reflection, even if he's sincere, he doesn't want to be the progenitor of evil, but that's not his cheshbon. We have to do the mitzvahs in this world, and that's not up to us.
Moshe can kill a person because he sees nothing good coming out of the generation of the future, and why can't you refrain from doing a mitzvah for the same reason?
Because that's what I'm saying, that this was a special, according to Chazal, this was a special event. In other words, this was an event where God shared with Moshe Rabbeinu his mishpat. Because in order to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, he had to understand absolute mishpat, absolute justice, the chachma of absolute justice. That's what was necessary. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu, as a leader, can't implement absolute justice, because he's only an adam. But the knowledge of that absolute justice will affect how he implements his human justice also. So that's why God took him into his mishpat, into the world of his mishpat. Took him into his world of mishpat. So he could learn the true ideas of mishpat, the true ideas of justice. Okay? Yes?
You mentioned, because the Targum Yerushalmi says it open, right? Ruach
Kodesh. Oh, you mean to say that it was a Mari HaNavua.
Right.
The Stakel Moshe Baruch Kudsha, Betreinu Lamaya. I don't know exactly what it means by Betreinu Lamaya, but the Stakel Moshe Baruch Kudsha, so it was Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is Mari HaNavua. Is the lowest level of Amnesis of Mari HaNavua. So it was by Mari HaNavua that all this took place, because otherwise he couldn't possibly succeed in understanding or knowing these things. That's why when it says Ra Ma'asala Babayas, it means he saw with Ruach HaKodesh, the whole parsha. And that's what it means when it says that he killed him b'shem ha-mafarish. It means he killed him b'shem ha-mafarish means that with the knowledge of the Adias Hashem that he had, he was able to kill him. So he was actually acting under God's mishpat, God's system of mishpat. It was a case that happened to Moshe Rabbeinu, but not to other human beings. Yes?
We betray Allah, it means what you're saying, that all of them were of Hashem's knowledge, but also he transcended and Hashem gave him his own.
It says, V'stakel Moshe, Hashem says, V'stakel Moshe Baruch Kutcha betrayin ule maya. What does that mean?
Two worlds.
Two worlds.
I mean, the realm of man's knowledge, and then also the then gave over to him. It was different than anybody else, so he had complete knowledge.
No. It says, V'oles giyora osid l'meka me'ahu mitzraya. G'tal yas mitzraya l'tman yasei v'chola. So it means that the two olamos, and he saw in both olamos, there is no giyora that's osid to come out of him. Yeah, just a second. Yeah, Pierce Unison has a hot shot on that. I mean, he can't be a guy in Olamala. I don't know what it means. Okay.
One question?
Yeah.
Is it possible that Moshe also derived some of his knowledge by the conversation that we knew about from, I'm sure I did, of Abraham Hashem by Saddam, that Hashem was making consideration outside of the riches of the people, and said that the external circumstances of certain amount of righteous people, that could also be a consideration. Even Abraham didn't know that, because Hashem said,
Right.
Even Moshe had some inkling from that area.
It's not a matter of an inkling. It's a matter of, what Chazal are teaching us here is just a framework. Like Chazal just set up the framework. We don't know what Moshe Rabbeinu learned. We certain things we see. But it was a limud that took place, and that limud was very extensive. But we just know that a few points, like, for instance, the point that what relationship an individual has with his future generations, if there is a good there, is related to him. That's a whole world of knowledge. But there were other things as well. That wasn't the only thing. It doesn't mean that was the only thing. There were many other things as well. But the Medrash can't tell you everything because we don't know what went on between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Yes.
So, Chazal are derish from Algeria to Omer. That's a show of Parash. So, how does that...
All right, so we'll take a look at it. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at the Ramban. Okay. Yes. Did we say anything more on that? I don't believe so, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay, yeah.
You mentioned on Friday that we learned the halakha looking at the goy, which is Hika Yehudi. It's Chayv Nisa Be'enu Ne'arav.
Right.
Does that emerge from the same thing, that he's Chayv Nisa, but that's Nisa, you know, it's B'dei Shemayim. So we learn exactly from the story that Moshe killed him, that was B'dei Shemayim.
You mean because he couldn't kill him?
Because he asked the question, it's Eino Ne'elav, but Moshe Rabbeinu killed him. So
right.
It's Eino Ne'elav.
Yeah.
But according to what you're saying, naturally it's Eino Ne'elav.
That would answer the question.
Like, it's Dini Shemayim.
I mean, the Kesem Mishneh's question on the Ram, because Ram says, in Ochos Malachim, Perek Yud, Halacha Vav, so the Ram mentions that a Ben Noach, that's Meirim Yodo, to be Maka Yisrael, he's Chayev Misa. So I had to learn it out from here. Vayarish mitzri makesh ivri meyecho. So the Rambam says, so you see that Ben Noach, that's Makeh and ivri, is chayev misa. I mean, Chazal say. So the Rambam says, but he's not nena shalov. You know, the bezin shall umos don't kill him. So the question is, so he raises a question, Kesem Mishneh raises a question. He says, so how could Moshe Rabbeinu kill him? Right? So he wants to say it's an asmachta. It's only an asmachta balma. But according to what we're saying, it's very good, because it means that the Bezdin can't kill him, but he's really chayev misa b'dei shemayim. He's chayev misa b'dei shemayim. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu over here was involved in the din shemayim, so that's why he was allowed to kill him. It was a different thing. But the limud is still good. The limud stands. That's correct. That would answer the question. It's very good. Yes?
You're saying that from here you can say that that's the best type of justice for man to implement if they had that knowledge?
It's not possible.
I know, but isn't
no, and I'm not saying that. I'm not saying impossible things. In other words, man can't implement God's justice. Not possible. But what I'm saying is that if man knows God's justice, then he's in a better position to implement his own justice.
Isn't it that you have a lot of right temple is that even if you know
Yeah, but if God takes you into, through Ruach HaKodesh, into the world of his knowledge, and he allows you to have some of his knowledge, and then you can do it. Then you can do it, because he's taking him into the world of God's knowledge. That's a specific case. But you can't have a... Outside of that case, you can't do it. How can a person...
Moshe couldn't apply that type of approach to justice.
No.
In general, because that would be outside of Allah.
It's outside of Allah. It's outside of human possibility. Because how's he going to know all the factors? only God's knowledge can do that. Because man's knowledge is very limited. He's limited to the senses. He's limited to his time and place. He's limited in his mental abilities. He can't implement... it's not possible. The only thing that it's teaching you is that to have that knowledge is beneficial in terms of man implementing his knowledge. The person who is a judge and has the knowledge of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done the world will be a better judge, even in his framework. Okay? That's the limud. That is the limud. There's a lot of knowledge that you might... What?
How will he be a better judge in the human framework?
What do you mean how? Because he understands justice. He has a better understanding of what justice really is. That's the main idea of a judge, is to understand justice. So it's true, he can't possibly implement God's judgments, but he has a greater understanding of justice. Chachma, it's chachma and justice. That's the story of Shlomo HaMelech. He was a chacham and he was able to implement justice in a higher way than the Sanhedrin. And that's the Mishpat of the Melech. The Mishpat of Melech is there for a different kind of justice. Okay, it's not God's justice, but it's not limited to the system of the Sanhedrin. It's a deeper justice. Okay. Yeah. Now let's take the Ramban. We didn't do the Ramban on Shabbos. Ramban's interesting. Ramban says, Mikan ono lemeidim, he quotes Rashi, Shehargo b'shem ha-mefarash, Lashon Rashi, U'medresh rabosenohu, Va'ani temar, Imkein, he says, Mi higid l'rasha, Kimo shehargo. So how did anyone know that he killed him? It's not possible to know. Hashem Farish just died. Right? So he says, so Ramban says, Ulai somach yado olav vayekalaleu b'shem Hashem. Put his hand on him and he cursed him with Hashem Hashem. V'zeo vayach. Okay? That's one possibility. Omet neshen nofal meis lefonov. He just dropped dead right in front of him. Pochad Moshe she'alilu olav. So Moshe was afraid that they're going to make up a story about him, that he killed him physically. The kavro b'chol, and he buried him in the sand. Okay? The raw oso osa came. The yada shehu hagorim. Osha hargo chosha shargo b'cherif kila raw raka kvura. Once he buried him already, so then everybody assumed that he killed him. Okay? The witness, the one that was there, knew that he killed him. And his mind knew that he killed him. But it's interesting. See, I was interpreting it differently. I was interpreting that he really killed him physically. But the Shem HaMefarash was just the idea. It was just the idea. I mean, I interpreted it that way because from what I understand from the Rambam, I think it'll be more in line with his approach. That the Shem HaMefarash is not a vehicle of killing somebody. And that's why I interpreted it that way. But the Ramban does not interpret it that way. But interesting is, the Ramban has two possibilities. One possibility is, Ulai somach yada ola vayakaleo b'shem Hashem v'zeo vayach. That's one possibility. Omet neshen nofal meis lefonov. Why does Ramban give two possibilities? Why does Ramban give two possibilities? It's interesting. Why does he give two? He gives two different possibilities. What was going on in his mind? Ramban's mind. You see, the Ramban accepted that he killed him with a Shem HaFarsh means not physically. Okay? But Ramban didn't know what it means that somebody dies by the Shem HaFarsh. So he was Mesupik. He didn't know whether it means you makal him b'shem and the klola of the klola is makuyim. Like the klola of Elisha, when the youngsters were making fun of him, so he gave him a klola, and the bears killed him. So the klola was makuyim. Is that what it means that he killed him with Shem Farsh? Or is there some way that through the idea of the Shem HaMeforash, a person can invoke the Din Shemayim, can bring about the Din Shemayim somehow? The Rambam was Mesupik about what it means. Okay, I just want to point that to you. You see from the Ramban, it's not just giving two possibilities, two different possibilities. So he didn't know theoretically what it means that somebody kills somebody with a Shem HaMeforash. So he had two possibilities. Either it means a klola with the Shem HaMeforash, and then it would just be a klola. It would just be an ordinary klola. But the Shem HaMeforash was necessary in order to qualify the klola. Some achyedo alav. I mean, I don't know why that. I don't understand what that. Why that's necessary? But apparently, that's a part of the derech klola. Part of the derech klola. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is that through the amira of the Shem HaMeforash, which is a certain yedia, that a great person has the ability to bring God's judgment into play. The Din Shemayim, to actualize the Din Shemayim through the idea of the Shem HaMeforash. So the guy is Chayav Misa because he hit the Yisrael. But this Chayav Misa is a Chayav Misa. He walked around with a Chayav Misa for many years. But through Moshe Rabbeinu, through the Shem HaMeforash, it means that through enunciating the Shem HaMeforash and understanding the Shem HaMeforash and Mishpat Hashem, he could bring about the judgment of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Din Shemayim could be actualized. He can actualize Din Shemayim. The Ramban was Masupik about it. It's interesting. Go through Ramban just superficially, you don't see it, but that's what he was Masupik about. Yes?
Why would Moshe Rabbeinu choose that method at first instead of just killing him physically?
Why you would choose that method?
That's messy.
Not necessary to kill him physically. It's not necessary. But according to what we're saying, it's a whole different thing. It's Mishpat Hashem. He was really just doing Mishpat Hashem. He wasn't acting on his own. On his own. You could say, like we said before, you had no right to kill him because he's an anarag. So that's why he implemented the Din Shemayim. He implemented the Din Shemayim. He brought about, he actualized the Din Shemayim. Yes?
You say that God was praying that the Egyptian should die? Could he pray that way?
That what?
That Moses was praying that God should take the Egyptian.
No, not praying. It doesn't mean praying. It means that there's a Din Shemayim. A person is Chayav Misa. So there's a Din Shemayim that is Chayav Misa. The person can walk around for many years before God actually is concerned with them, so to speak. But there is a Din Shemayim here. So it could be what the Ramban was saying was it's possible that a great Navi that can bring about, I don't know, I can't go any further because I mean I'm not going to try to conjecturize why the great Navi can do it or why that happens, but the great Navi has the ability to bring about and to actualize the Din Shemayim. Okay, that's what the Ramban is saying. Just like it reminds me of what the Ibn Ezra says about the Nisim of Moshe, that only Moshe Rabbeinu could do those Nisim. Why? Because he had the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of God insofar as humanly possible, and the Derech Hashem, and that's why he was able to bring about the Nisim. Not just an ordinary prayer; it wasn't just magic. It was because of his knowledge and understanding of God's justice that he could implement God's justice through the Nisim. So it's a similar idea. The Ramban's idea is similar to the Ibn Ezra. Okay, yes?
The Din Shemayim was that he was Chayav Misa, he could walk where he could live, even with the Din Shemayim that he's Chayav Misa.
Right.
So that means, it must mean he has some schus, no?
Not necessarily. It could be he's not worthy of Ashgach at all. Not necessarily. Right. Cause that to change. Okay. Yeah.
So I got your point to your upshot.
Yeah, my upshot is that he physically killed him, but
right.
Yeah.
So But I'm saying the limit, Rashi's limit is based upon Ata Omer. You know, again, Ata Omer, which sounds like it's pointing to like that is the Shem.
That's why the Ramban says it. That's true.
Right.
That's true.
But there's a Rashi that goes against that a little bit in terms of the Amira. Of course, later on by Zezahul Dar, it says Hashem taught Moshe how to say his name.
Yeah.
As if at this point he didn't know how the pronunciation of the Shem Farsh. So it could be it was just the idea of the Shem Farsh that. The actual pronunciation?
That's a good question. It could be. I mean, a lot of times the, like Chazal say, I mean, these things are, it's a drasha. A drasha is not a simple thing. I mean, it happened in different ways. Like, for instance, by Dasam Vaviram, though, where they, Moshe Rabbeinu told him to come out, says, they said, Lo Nala. So Rashi, they said, Lo Nala, Elonorid. You know? So it means that the Lushan was somehow, in a certain sense, I mean, was placed in their mouths, so to speak. I mean, in a certain sense, it means there's a certain part of them that recognized it. Or, I mean, however you interpret it. But it could be the drasha of Argeni Ata Omer was a choice of word, not that it doesn't make any sense in Pshuto Shel Mikra, but the fact that the Torah uses that lashon is what Chazal use to learn this idea. It's a drasha. It doesn't mean that the Argeni Ata Omer also means plain pshat also. You see, the Ramban explains it. But it doesn't necessarily have to, I'll show you, the Ramban explains it. So, but it means that it's enough, however, to base the Chazal on it. But it doesn't mean it's an impossible, it's 100% Raya. Okay?
Well, I'm asking, according to your way of learning, how is the reference to the Shem of Barash, which is Omer?
Because it's an unusual, it's not that the Omer proves it. In other words, it's not that it's impossible, it's a little bit off, a little bit out of the way, the Lashon. So because the Lashon is a little bit out of the way, so they dash it. Okay? Because the plain shot, you'll see the Ramban explains very well, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it was that halagenet ha'omer means there's no other way to interpret it.
Right. So according to Ramban, it's a better the reference. It's Amira.
It's Amira. According to my way, it's not smooth, but it doesn't mean that it's impossible to interpret. You'll see the Ramban himself says it. But that's a matter of the drasha. Drasha doesn't bother me. I mean, drasha is a drasha. But the fact that Lashon HaMikra is a little bit changed, a little deviated, is a raya that it was Shem HaMefarash. But not that it's an impossible to tolerate the plain shot that he said to him, you want to kill me? Are you trying to kill me? Are you speaking in terms of killing me? Okay. But the Ramban goes on. I mean, I'll show the Ramban. It's not 100% right. It's not like the Pasuk says, Pasuk doesn't make any sense in the Pshutuk Mashma. Okay? So he says like this, V'alderech ha-pshat, Omer, ki ato Omer, pirusho choshev. You see, the Ramban says that when it says, halagena to Omer, it means you're thinking. He says, why? Ki matzinu amira machsheves halev. Amarti belibi, amarti tov mimenu hanofel. Okay? So amarti means chashavti. So therefore the Ramban says that in Derech HaPshat, he says the term amira means choshev. That's what I would say. That it's a little off. And the fact that it's a little bit off is where the Chazal say, interpret, they say it's making an allusion to this idea. It's making an allusion to this idea. But it works also. I mean, it's not impossible to interpret a plane. Okay, but that's the way a drasha works. A drasha works, that's a little bit off, generally speaking. Okay, generally speaking. Okay?
Would you put that into their final emotion, or that's just a reference to the fact that that's actually...
I mean, it could be that that's why they said it. I don't know. I mean, it could be that the Torah is saying that that's what they said. And it could be. I don't know. I don't know. It could be that they used that Lushan. That Lushan was a misguided Lushan for the Joshua. But it's a good lashon. It's a true lashon. But it's a little strange. Okay? So I guess you could say the Ashgacha was that they should use that lashon. That's the first Ramban, Valder Chapshat. Then he says afterwards, V'ein v'kan tzorach l'zeh. Ki omar, misom chol ish sa v'shofet aleinu. Im bavur shato chofetz l'argeni kasher ragto ha-mitzri, atom ochiachosi, v'om olom ha-sakarecha. In other words, l'argeni ato omar, really, you don't have to have any drush altogether. You don't have to say it means choshev. It means omar, because he made a statement to this Yisrael. He said, Misom Chalish Sav Shofet Aleinu. So he was Mochiachim. So he says, Halaha Geni Ata Omer, this Tochacha that you're saying is because you want to kill me? Okay? Because you want to be a Shofet of me? So Ata Omer is very good because it was an Amira. It was an Amira. So the Ramban says you don't need the Derech HaPshat. The plain Pshat in the Pasuk is sufficient. See, I think he's learning, when he says Derech HaPshat, what? Right. Lomasak, I'm sorry. Yeah, Moshe. Moshe's a mirror. Lomasak Ereecha. Right, Moshe's a mirror. Lomasak Ereecha. And then he answered it back. Misom Chalish Sav HaShofet Olenel or Gedi Ata Omer. So it means that are you trying to become a judge and kill me? And that's why you're reprimanding me Lomasak Ereecha. You're reprimanding me Lomasak Ereecha? So the Amira was a reprimand, Lama Sakareyecha. So he's referring to the statement, Ata Omer, that means you want to make yourself into a judge, and you want to kill me. Okay? So the Ramban says, so that's the, that you don't have to have any, you don't have to darshan, because the Amira is referring to the Tochacha. Ata Machich, Sivamo Lama Sakareyecha. Yeah, so that's all again at Omer. You be mochiach me because you want to be a judge and kill me. Okay, so it's plain shot. All right, so the Ramban is satisfied with the plain pshuto shel mikra, but he doesn't reject the other pshat of the pshat of Chazal that he killed him with shamfar. He doesn't say he rejects it, but he says there's a pshuto shel mikra, and the pshuto shel mikra runs very well. But simultaneously, Chazal interjected their own interpretation to show the ideas. Okay? All right. That's the Ramban. See, the difference between Valderech HaPshat Ve'en B'Kan Tzorach is like I was saying before. If you say Al Derech HaPshat, it means that there is a pshat, but it's a little bit strange. So it's an allusion to the Medrash. But if you say Vein Tzorach Bo, Vein Mekan Tzorach Lazeh, then you're really taking away the illusion. You're taking away the illusion, and you're saying the Chazal are forcing it into the Pasuk. They're projecting it into the Pasuk because of their knowledge of what the whole parsha is about. Okay? So it's two types of drasha. One type is that there is an illusion because the lashon is a little bit off. The other type is that there's no illusion whatsoever, but you see Chazal used that pasuk to support, it could be interpreted all again at Talmud that way, so they use it as a remez to support their thesis, that namely that was Mishpat Hashem. Okay? Yeah. Two accounts. According to the Ramban, there are two accounts. Two accounts. Two accounts. Yeah.
Thing back to the Arab Saddam again, you're saying here that they saw the Moshe needed to have a certain type of knowledge from Hashem because he was now going to be administering justice to the highest level of the people.
Right.
It's the same thing by
Abraham. I would say more than that. I would say it was an introduction to the Mariah Nevuah of the Snap. Because the whole Mariah Nevuah requires a certain knowledge of Mishpat Hashem, certain Yedias Hashem, and that was necessary in order to have the whole Mariah Nevuah.
Well, it says by Abraham too, because it was based on Akhara, that Abraham was supposed to suck the Mishpat.
Okay.
So the same thing over there. He also had a hand
called. Okay.
So, right.
Right. No, you're right. No, that's true. That's true. You mean in order to...
Yeah.
That's correct. Shomer Derech Hashem Lasa Tzedakah on Mishpat, it means the Derech Hashem of Mishpat, which was what I mentioned on Shabbos. The point is that a person should really try, should always try for Mishpat Hashem. That's what the Ramban says on the Pasuk that V'asisa Yashatov B'nei Hashem L'kecha. They shouldn't just try to go by the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch is true, you're not a Gazlan. But is it really justice? Is it Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If it's not in line with Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then a person shouldn't do it. So when it comes to justice, the Shulchan Aruch is not the last word. The Shulchan Aruch is good for Beis Din in terms of paskening a Din Torah. But we don't like Din Torah, Dinei Torah. We like that a person should do a Sisa Yeshua Tov, and he should do what really is ultimately just in the eyes of God, even though he can get away with it, even though he's not a Gazlan. But the person should look for... So for us also it's true, not just for Moshe Rabbeinu, that the more we learn about the Mishpat Hashem, the more we are able to carry it out in our own lives too, and that's the ultimate purpose of Mishpat Hashem. Hashem with Derech Hashem Lasos Zakon Mishpat. It's the Derech Hashem. So that's correct. That's very significant. It's not just for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's for us too. It's a limit for us as well. Okay, good. Very good. Okay, there's one more point. We wanted to say there were two events that took place before the Mariah Nevoah of the Snare. The second one was when Moshe Rabbeinu ran away to Midian, and he saw the daughters were having trouble watering the sheep, so he chased away the roan, and then they went to Yisro. And they said, how come you came home so early today? So he said, Ish mitzvi yitzalonu miyad aron. An Egyptian saved us. Begam dolo dolo lonu, vayashka satzon. He even was dolo himself. Vayom abnos vayolom azaz aftan say, Ish kirin lo viyoch alochem. Vayol Moshe l'sheva say, Ish and Moshe even swore that he'd stay with him, made him swear. Chazal say, Vayol means lashon shvur. Plain pshat means he was willing. The tzavi. The tzvi. So Chazal also in this parsha show an underlying current which changes a lot of the meaning of the parsha, because what they say is like this, that that Kohen Midyan ulaKohen Midyan Sheva Banos. So Rashi says Rav Sheba Enu Pirish Lomei Avodah Zarah V'Nidu Me'Etzlam. So he was Parish Avodah Zarah Yisro, and they excommunicated him. So he was not in good favor among the people where he was living. They had disdain for him. They ostracized him. Wouldn't have anything to do with him. That's a very difficult thing for a person to live with emotionally, to be ostracized. So that's why he says that's why they stopped them from getting the water. Because he was benidui. So it's interesting. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, that in spite of that, he didn't care. And he joined the side that was in Cherem, the side that was reviled. He joined them because it was based on emes. It was based on the fact that Yisro rejected, disavowed himself from all the Avodah Zarah. So because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't care. I think that's possibly why Yisro made him swear, because he knew that it's hard to take after a long time, and he's liable to just leave, because it's to sustain the pressure of being reviled and excommunicated is a very difficult thing. It's easy the first day, but after a while, it really starts eating away at the person. It's a very difficult psychological thing. So that's why I made him swear. And, Yeah, Rabbi Bold mentioned a nice thing, too. He says, V'telet b'im v'yikra shmo gershom ki amah gera yisi beres nachriya. What do you mean, gera yisi beres nachriya? So over here, the ger ha'isi b'aretz nachriya has a deeper meaning. Not just I was a ger, but I derived a great benefit out of this gerus, because I went against my emotions, and I suffered with Yisro because of justice, and this was really this was what I gained in this place. Ger ha'isi b'aretz nachriya. So it was a shevach l'makom that he was happy that he had that experience. So you see that there were two experiences that were necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to have before the snap, before the Ma'ariah Nevuah of the snap. And the first one was that to have the idea of Mishpat Hashem. And the second one was to be able to withstand the abuse, the verbal abuse, the psychological abuse of people who simply can't tolerate the justice that the leader is going to bring into existence. So those two things were the two necessary things. That's the way Chazal interpreted the parshas. So you see, it's an interesting thing, but Chazal really, the way they interpret the parsha with their freestyle is based, of course, on the idea that Shivim Panim LaTorah, which means to say that they have a right to do that because the Torah really is a sefer which was given to learn ideas, limud. So when they're doing that, as many people misunderstand. They think, oh, Chazal are pushing this in, they're pushing that in. They're not pushing anything in. What they're doing is they're uncovering the ideas of the parsha. The whole parsha has a whole different meaning. The two limudim that were necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu, they stand out as two limudim that are absolutely necessary for a leader. So the whole signon aparshios takes on a whole different limud, a whole different meaning. Without the Chazal, you just don't really understand what the parshios are about. They just sound like two different events, no sheikhus, and suddenly another event happens. So that's because the Sefer Taurus Moshe was given to us as a sefer for limud, to look for the ideas, to look for the concepts. And the Ramazim are there, and the Ramazim help a person, but the main idea is to gain the knowledge and gain the ideas, not to be stuck with the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Because Pshuto Shel Mikra, you only go so far. Okay?
How is it that the divine understanding, the divine justice, really helps in his leadership of Klai Yisrael? Okay, I see the seclusion idea, but as far as justice, I don't see it helping leadership at all.
Because it means that a person who is a judge, the first thing he has to do is have knowledge of what real justice is. He has to understand that Derech Hashem lasa stok ha-mishpat. If he just thinks he's going to go by his emotions of justice, that's no good. It's a limud. Justice is a big limud. The reason why I don't understand is because you don't know the limud. But I don't blame you, but I'm just saying. It is insofar as the person doesn't know the limud, he's incapable of... A judge has to use halacha, but he has to have in his mind the ultimate justice. And the ultimate justice is a long and difficult limud. I mean, you see, Plato tried to understand justice. Spent a lot of effort on it. So it's not such a simple thing. What is justice? Not a simple thing. But Moshe Rabbeinu was taught by the Borei Olam what justice is, what the real ultimate justice is. And only then, the judge has to have his eye on the ultimate absolute justice. Then he has to see how much of it he can implement. But if he doesn't know what ultimate justice is, he's worthless. Yes?
So you asked before, you gave us the answer. You said that Chazal say truth with Mashmah, so it would force him to give more of a drush. So is that derived basically from their sensitivity for nuances? Or is it some other source?
No, it's derived from their desire to understand the Torah and the Parshios and what the connection of the Parshios is. And it's an overall knowledge. I mean, they take the Torah and they put it into a whole different framework. But that's the purpose of it. That's why Chazal say, "Ki al pi advarim ha'ela karati yitchov risves yisrael." Al pi advarim ha'ela. What does the Gemara say? Chazal say, "Torah shebal peh." At Torah Shebaal Peh is the real Krishna's bris. Because Torah Shebaal Peh is really the ideas. That's really the essence. That's the essence. If it's just Torah Shebaal Chsav, I mean, it's very, very, very limited. But there has to be a Torah Shebaal Chsav also, because there has to be the Torah for a plain person, Dibur Torah Kol Shmei Adam, plain person has to also understand. So there are things to be derived from the plain Pshuto Shomekra as well, but the real deep ideas emerge from the fact that the Torah was given not to be restricted to the Pshuto Shomekra, and to use it as a sefer, as a springboard for the ideas, because the ideas are really the ultimate objective. That's all the drushes of Chazal. That's why people who frown on the drushes of Chazal and consider them artificial, they simply think that Chazal are trying to understand Pshuto Shel Mikra, and they're putting things into Pshuto Shel Mikra. It's not. It's a whole different understanding of what Torah is. Torah is not meant to be simply a factual sefer. It's a sefer that was written for ideas. So if it was just the facts, you're very limited. So that's why Chazal really bring out the ideas. Yes.
Did the first event have that be something that he actually experienced implementing, or if Hashem would have just talked to him, that would have been, I assume it would have been lacking in some kind of way, because that's not how it happened. But would it have been lacking if he would just been taught the idea?
Yeah, because a person learns the ideas when he's involved in a problem. Just to teach ideas doesn't have so much of an effect. When a person is involved in the problem, then he raises his own questions, like Moshe Rabbeinu did all the time. How could you do this? Avraham Avinu, raises his own questions, his mind, his intelligence, not just like reading a book. Okay. So Akash Baruch taught him while he was involved in the action and facilitating the justice. That's the right time for a person to be lomed. Yes?
Would that mean that when Moshe, came before the snap, that it wasn't sort of the first time that he had an inkling of his role as a leader? In the case of the Mitzvah,
right.
Was that part of his leadership training? I always thought when he...
But he didn't
get the first sense of his role.
I don't know if he got the sense of his role. He wasn't asked to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. It was just a specific event.
He didn't know that's
going to lead to that. Right. That was a big thing. To take on that, he's going to be the one that's Motzi Klal Yisrael, Chiyotzias Me'asom Mitzrayim. The greatest event ever, he's going to be the one that's responsible for that. And that's a whole different thing. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him that knowledge? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that he needed the knowledge, he deserved the knowledge, he's going to be in a position where the knowledge is valuable. Maybe a lot of reasons, but you can't jump to the conclusion that he's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. What?
Maybe that was part of the preparation.
It was part of the preparation.
And he had all those years to reflect on it,
Could be. That could be. That could very well be. That could very well be. You mean that's why it happened before, so he had time to reflect and think more into the ideas that he gained in that situation. That's good. Yeah?
This limit was specifically for Moshe, but I think you said it would apply to a human judge as well, if he was able to be in that limit, right?
Right.
Now, isn't the human judge bound by rules and regulations of how he can judge, and therefore this can't be a factor in how the judges?
No, because the dayan has to do what's just. As a matter of fact, if a dayan knows that this the emes, he can't disbands the vehicles. The vehicles are there in order to help him, in order to assist him. But he's not bound. The person knows that a guy is a ganef. He's going to say it's din maruma. All these things. The main thing is justice. Not to carry. It's not like anachas tefillin. It's a different kind of a system. It's based on a true idea of justice, not to just go through certain technical steps. That's not what but the dinim are about. And a beis din is supposed to look for the emes and the mishpat. Sometimes they should try to talk the bala dinim out of going into dintara. They should talk them into pshara. It's a system of mishpat. That's what it is. Not a system of just following, understanding the lumdus and following the technical steps. That's not what it's about. That's mitzvahs. That's a different area. It's not Dina Mominus. But the Pasuk says, by the Marion of the Snare, it says, how does everyone want to try? I don't want to guess it. After, first it was Madua Luyivar Asner, Asuranov Era Samara Godelazer, Madua Luyivar Asner. So his intellectual curiosity was aroused and he was drawn to it. Vayar Hashem Kisol Leros, Vayikra Lova Lakim, Mitach Asner, Moshe Moshe Vayame Ineni. And then a couple more psukim, Altiga Shalom, Anoch Elke Avicho, Vayama Anoch Elke Avicho, Elke Avram, Elke Yitzchok, Elke Yaakov. Vayaster Moshe Ponov ki yore mehabit el olakim. That's what the pasuk says. He hid his face. So there's two chazal on this. One chazal says, and they're both opposite. Yeah. That. Vayomer lo suchal tanim shmei rishim mekocha. Vayomer lo suchal lirosas ponai. Later, when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see Harenos kvadecha, so God answered him, lo suchal lirosas ponai. You can't. It's not possible. Okay. So the Gemara says, tanim shmei the Rebbe Yeshua ben Karcha kacha malei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. This is what Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe. When I wanted to reveal to you Lo Ratzi saw, you didn't want to. Because Vayasta Moshe Ponov, you hid your face. Achshav Sha'ata Rotza, now that you want, Eini Rotza, I don't want. Very strange medrash. Okay? Upligi de Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yenison. This is an argument on Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni and B'Shem Rabbi Yenison. That what did he say? He said just the opposite. Bischar Sholosh Zachar LaSholosh. Bischar, because of three things, he received three rewards. Vayasta, Bischar Vayasta Moshe, that he hit his face, Zachar LaKlaster Ponim. So he was Zachar to Koronar Ponov. Bischar Kiyore, because of the Schar that he was afraid, Zachar LaVayiru Migesh Eselov. Because later, when he came down from the mountain, so it says they saw his face was coming upon a Yir Migeshes, I love. They were afraid to approach him. What? Bischar Mehabit, and the schar that he, the last words, Vayasta Moshe Panav Ki Yore Mehabit El Olakim, Zocha Leusmunas Hashem Yabit. So he was Zocha to Usmunas Hashem Yabit. I said first shot is very difficult. So let's take the second one. So what are the three things that Bischar Vayasta Moshe Ponov Zochel Klaster Ponim? So what does that mean? Three things. So apparently it's three perfections in Moshe, right? One was Vayasta Moshe Ponov, and that's why it was Zochel to Klaster Ponim to have the Koronar Ponov. Okay. And Bischar Kiyore. Zachal levayiru migeshes elav, because he was afraid, so that's why they were afraid to approach him. Bischar, and the last one was that bischar mehabit zachal usmunas ad Hashem yabit, that he's able to really see ultimately, insofar as the das adam is concerned, to have knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, what are these three things? What are the three things? Okay, so the last one is really the one that lends itself most to understanding. It's more open, because it says Bischar mehabit zocha leusmunas ad Hashem yabit. Ki yore mehabit means he was afraid to analyze, to think. Habata over here doesn't mean to look; it means to understand. So because he restrained himself. And he recognized that he's not on the level, because like the Ramban says, he was not on the level at that time that he was later on Har Sinai. Okay? Pe'al Pe'a Dabarbo, he wasn't on that level. He over here was like the Malach, So because he recognized and he restrained himself from trying to go into areas which were above and beyond him, so that's why he progressed naturally, correctly, properly, and eventually it was a smunas ad Hashem yabet. Okay? That's the last one. Okay. What is the first one? Vayasta Moshe panav zochel aklasta panim. What does that mean? So I'm interpreting it. I'm interpreting it means like this. Vayasta Moshe panav means that was his midas anava. His midas anava. He hid his face because he recognized his true existence, like Avraham Avinu. Vanochi of a vefer. So his midas anava played a role in him refraining from going further. That was his midas anava. So that's why Chazal say he was zocha to koron or panim, which was the opposite. That it was revealed that he really is the person that's nena miziv hashchina. Okay? So it was his midas anava. Midas anava is different than the first thing we mentioned. Midas Anova is a general perfection in man, okay? That he has, he's, like I mentioned, Anochi of Vefer, that he recognizes the nature of his existence. So that was one thing that he had, and the person can recognize the nature of his existence, being Anov, but it doesn't mean that he's going to properly evaluate, necessarily make a proper evaluation of his knowledge. I mean, it certainly is helpful in having the that midah, but he still could his desire for knowledge could be overpowering, and it could be a good desire, but if it's inappropriate at the time, it requires restraint. So that's the second one. Mehabit means that he made a correct assessment of the fact that at that moment he wasn't really roi, and his knowledge was not what it was supposed to be. And in order to engage in smunas Hashem yabet, so therefore he refrained. So those are two different things, two separate things. Okay.
Why does that lead to the koron?
Oh, because on the contrary, you know, as he really wanted to hide. So koron aponav was the opposite. Was the greatest covet. It was revealed that he's an enemy of Hashchina. So he was hiding, but on the contrary, he was given the greatest covet because of that. He received the greatest covet because of it. Okay. Now, what's the third one, the in-between one? B'schar kiyore zocha levayiru migeshes elav. What is the kiyore over here? What is the kiyore? What is the fear? What is the fear? What? In this chus? Okay, that's a good question. Why is that chus? But what was he afraid of? Okay, what was he afraid of? Okay, I don't think he can answer one without the other. So the Rambam says in the Mora, Rambam says like this. That in this week's parsha, that where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, says Vamuli Mashemo Ma'omar Lehem. So of course Rambam has a question. Either they didn't know the name, or they didn't know the name. So he shows that the shame. Because then Moshe Rabbeinu asked him later. He says they're going to say Vehemloy Aminuli Kiyamol Nira Lachad Hashem. So the Rambam explains that the term, the name, means really an idea that proves God's existence. Okay? Ekya Sher Ekya, the existing being which is the existing being. That is to say, the being whose existence is absolute. Okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him how to teach Klal Yisrael the idea of God. Okay? Because they'll say, who is God? But there's still one thing. Why? They didn't know who God was. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu, they'll say, what is his name? He should have said, they'll say, who is God? Okay? But he switched it. So the Rambam says like this. Thereupon gave him, God gave him this. Okay. He says, we have thus shown that the question, what is his name, means, who is that being which according to thy belief has sent thee? The sentence, what is his name, here has been used as a tribute of praise and homage, as though it had been said, nobody can be ignorant of thy essence and of thy real existence. If nevertheless I ask, what is thy name, I mean, what ideas to be expressed by the name? In other words, and then he goes on, he says, Moses considered it inappropriate to say to God that any person was ignorant of God's existence, and therefore described the Israelites as ignorant of God's name, not as ignorant of him who was called by that name. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to say to God, they're going to say, who is God? Because that's a priest's covet. To say that that there are brios don't recognize God, so he put it in a different way, derech kavod, and he said they'll say, what is his name? In other words, they'll want to know what's the connection, what idea emerges from the name. So that's like they know God exists, but they want to know the name and the idea of the name. So that's a further searching for knowledge, because he really should have said, they'll say, who is God? Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu switched the language. But the question is, to us it sounds very strange. Why should he switch the language? I mean, he's talking to God. God knows everything. So what's the purpose of switching the language? You see? He's not talking to a person. He's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that they don't know who God is. So why switch the language? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The whole idea doesn't make any sense, because that kind of covet is good for a bus of a dumb who doesn't know. You don't want to tell him things that he doesn't know, harm him or make him feel bad. But with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it doesn't make any sense. But what you see from this Rambam is an amazing thing. And that's what I think Chazal is saying here. That Moshe Rabbeinu was endowed with a sense of kavod shamayim that was absolute. That he couldn't utter such a statement, you see, because of his kvod shamayim that existed within himself. Not because of a logistical reason. You know, he doesn't want to say this because of that. It was because of the fact that his kvod shamayim was so much a part of his nature that he couldn't utter a certain expression, because that would be a priestess in the kvod shamayim. So the kvod shamayim was a separate institution. A separate institution, a separate reality. I don't think we know what that means. I don't think we understand that. But for Moshe, that's what the Rambam is saying in the Mora, that Moshe Rabbeinu had that concept. An intrinsic idea of kvod shamayim, which prevented him from saying certain things. We don't have that. We don't understand it. But that's a level of hasagas habore that he had, you see. And that's why Chazal say that was kiyore. Kiyore means that there was a kvod shamayim involved that prevented him from approaching. It was an intrinsic kvod shamayim. So that's why Chazal say, because he had that dimension of kvod shamayim, so vayiru migeshes elov, he became a vehicle of kvod shamayim. Because why were they afraid to approach him? Because he reflected the nana mizivah shechina kiruv lamakom, so they moved away. They were frightened. So he became an instrument of kvod shamayim. That's what Chazal mean he was zocher. Those were the three dimensions. Okay, those are the three dimensions. Okay. Now the last point I want to make is I don't want to leave it away. Perhaps maybe I should leave for another time. Leave for another time. The first Chazal. All right. The first Chazal, I believe, is as follows. It's a principle we one time spoke about it, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Hareini Nos Kvodecha, so there was a reason for it. Because it was after the ego, and he said, Urei Amcha Egayazeh. So if you read what his request is, a lot of sodos there in the request, so I have to understand it. But one idea emerges was that if he, his request was based on the fact that if he has this knowledge of Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and of, and insofar as man can, Harenina Eskodecha, that that will allow him to lead Klal Yisrael properly, that further Yedias Hashem. So it was really the the fact that he took, and we mentioned this, the fact that he took on the mission, which he didn't want to take on, brought him to a knowledge that he never would have attained. That he never would have attained. So he didn't want to do it because he thought it wasn't right, he thought it was too burdensome, whatever. But the fact was that he gained from it. Because of the shlichus, he had an opportunity to receive a different kind of knowledge that no other human being had. And that's why it says also in Dvarim, it says, Vahi So Rashi says over there that for the 38 years, the Shechina didn't, he didn't have Nevuah, B'Lashon Chiba, and Yishuv Hadas. So it means because, as Rashi says, because Nevi'im only get the Nevuah because of Klal Yisrael. So the fact that he took on the mission gave him a greater opportunity for the Chachmas Hashem. So how did he interpret Vayasta Moshe Panov? You see, he interpreted that it's tied to what happened later. Because he saw the snare, he knew it had to do with Klal Yisrael, he sensed that this is going to involve him with a some kind of way with the being a leader on Klal Yisrael, and he had a certain reluctance. So they're learning Vayasta Moshe Panov means that he had a reluctance to take over the mission, and that's why it was Vayasta Moshe Panov. Not that he didn't want the das he would have wanted. But the reluctance because of the mission was already emerging. And that's what was Vayasta Moshe Panov. So that's what they say, Kishiratzisi lo ratzisa. When I wanted, you didn't want. Had you embraced the mission, you would have received a higher level. But now that you want, it's too late. Because at that time there was a reluctance, and that reluctance hasn't been removed, and therefore Now I can't give it to you. That's the first shot. Okay. What? He knew, because the snare was a marshal of Klal Yisrael. He sensed. Okay, yeah, I started to bring in this point, but then I dropped it. But in other words, when the Chazal interpreted Chay Noda Dover in a different way also, that he said he saw that they're not royally goyim. That was after he learned Mishpat Hashem. So he saw they weren't roy. And it was true. They weren't. They only went out because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because of their chesed. Okay. Good.